And this is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's your connection to local music and more. On the program today, we'll have some Ecuadorian music, courtesy of an ensemble called Niawi, which we will have explained to us by Pilar Eguez Guevara, who is treasurer of the Ecuadorian Students Association at the University of Illinois, who are sponsoring a performance, and actually a workshop and public concert this Friday evening at the Spurlock Museum in Urbana. Workshop starts at 4 and the concert is at 7:30. And then later on the show, we'll have with us vocalist Kathy Harden, who is one of the two featured performers in the Station Theater's production of Always, Patsy Cline, at the Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana. Those performances have been ongoing and will continue for the next couple of weeks. We'll hear some of Patsy Cline's music and hopefully some of Kathy Harden's music as well. So that's coming up today on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was a group that was, I think, my first introduction to most music of South America. Inti Illimani is the name of the group. And they were performing with two guitarists, well-known guitarists, John Williams and Paco Peña, a traditional tarantella, and then a piece called Cana Austina by Roberto Di Simone. And heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And that is by way of introduction to an event, really a double event, happening this Friday on the campus of the University of Illinois, sponsored by a group that I'm just hearing about for the first time, the Ecuadorian Students Association, and the Fellowship for Activism and Applied Research, another group that I'm not familiar with. And it is an event, a workshop, and a concert by an Ecuadorian ensemble called Niawi. That's spelled N-A-W-I, and it's going to be at the Spurlock Museum on the U of I campus in Urbana, and is free, furthermore. The workshop is from 4 to 6, an introduction to musical traditions and instruments of the Ecuadorian Andes, and the concert itself starts at 9:30. It's a fairly small auditorium, so if you're interested, you'll want to get in touch with whoever we need to get in touch with, which we will find out as we have our conversation with the person who told me about all of this, who is the treasurer of the Ecuadorian Students Association and herself a doctoral candidate in social anthropology at the U of I, Pilar Eguez Guevara. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for letting me know about this. I would have had no idea. Tell us a little bit about this Ecuadorian Students Association. I know you told me it kind of got started and then petered out and then has gotten a little rejuvenated somewhat.
Well, as far as I could gather from my colleagues, they formed the association in 2001. The Ecuadorians at the U of I are mostly grad students and exchange students, and they're mostly in engineering, but they're also from other fields. And they formed the association just to have a space to have some fellowship among the Ecuadorians on campus, but also to promote and to share Ecuadorian culture and, through food and through, I guess, mostly through food, right?
Food is very helpful.
Yes. I know that they're organizing dinners at the Cosmopolitan Club, and that's one way they also presented some videos and photos on the, you know, Ecuador, the country, the different places and the different cultures, etc. And they also had a very important social project. They were raising funds to help finance education of low-income students in high schools in Ecuador. And they did that through the selling of handicrafts that they brought from Ecuador. So students donated these handicrafts, and they sold them at the Cosmopolitan Club's dinners. And they also had a project of selling roses that they imported from Ecuador, because Ecuador is an exporter of roses. So they brought roses. I think this was last year or 2 years ago, and they sold them for Valentine's Day, and they raised funds towards that project. So, and the people that were promoting this, they graduated. They were grad students, and they graduated and left. And so there was a period of transition where there was, you know, very, very few students, or I guess it was not as organized, you know, with the people that were leading. They left. So this year, this has been an opportunity to reunite and to reorganize the association around, specifically, I was telling you about the visit by President Correa. And so that was an opportunity for us to get together, and a few of us formed our improvised an ensemble to play for President Correa's at the reception, before the reception for the awards that he was receiving. And also there were several lectures and opportunities to meet the president, so the Ecuadorians participated in these events, and I was able to meet many of them that I had not known before. So, and the other, and this event with Yanwi really is another opportunity, because it's it has been a challenge to raise the funds, but I think that every one of us is really excited to have a group from Ecuador. It's really a unique opportunity to have them perform here. So.
And just going back to the Ecuadorian president, you said he's a graduate of the University of Illinois.
Yes, so he's a U of I graduate, and he was being awarded an award for exceptional achievement by the university. So he was here on the 8th of April, and he held a series of events, or talks throughout the day, and he was eager to meet with the some of the Ecuadorian students that when he was here as an alumni, he had known some of the people that are still studying here. Some came from Chicago, and others had been his students at a University of San Francisco in Quito, because when he went back to Ecuador, he was teaching there. So some of the students that are studying here were his students back at home. Some were his teachers, here or back home, or his colleagues that are now in the U.S. So it was really an opportunity to meet a lot of people that one way or another are connected to Ecuador and had been connected to him personally.
What did he study here? What did he teach?
He graduated with a PhD. He got a PhD from economics. So,
and he was taught at university in economics also.
Yes. So he finished his PhD here, and he went back, and he was teaching at Universidad San Francisco de Quito. He was an economics professor there, and an academic, very outspoken, very kind of with very progressive views. And then he, there was a specific context in which there was social mobilizations, and there were many social movements, and academic also movements that were very progressive that supported his candidacy, and he won. It was amazing.
He's been the president for how long?
Since 2007.
So for a little while. And what is the term for presidencies in Ecuador?
It's 4 years, but in his case, he called into a constitutional assembly, and a new constitution was written in 2008, and that allowed for re-elections. So he was re-elected for another 4 years. So I think at the end of his term, it would be 6 years altogether that he will be president.
So he could run again, or just 2 terms, and that's all?
I think, no, I think that's...
Unless you rewrite the constitution again.
I'm not sure about that, but he, you know, through the new constitution, he was able to run again, and he was elected. So he has a wide support from the population. Some sectors are not very happy with some of his policies, but
it's always that way, isn't it?
Yes.
Right? Whoever voted against him isn't going to like him, right?
Exactly.
Just like we're having here in this country right now. Even some of the people
who
elected our president aren't happy. And so sometimes, you know, sometimes you'll hear it said that if everybody is unhappy, you must be doing something right.
Right.
And if your friends don't like it, mm-hmm. and your enemies don't like it, then, mm-hmm. you know, you're facing up to some tough questions. In any event,
right.
Any idea how many Ecuadorian students are at the University of Illinois? More or less?
We actually had to do some research when the president was coming. He wanted to meet the students, and we came up with around 30 students.
Really?
Yes.
So not a large population here.
Not a large population, but I think it's significant because it's continuing. You know, they're coming and going. Some come only for a year and they go back, but they're continuing. Group of students that are coming and going. It's a partnership with Universidad San Francisco that, you know, students come here for exchange and then they go back and apply again for graduate studies. So they come back.
And you said that for at least one of the events that he participated in, you got together a musical ensemble?
Yes. So,
are you a musician?
Yes, I went to music school for many years in Ecuador. I studied piano and voice. But you know, I left that behind, I guess.
Apparently not entirely.
Yeah, so in this was an opportunity to I was collaborating with Nicole Tammy at the Office of International Affairs who were organizing these activities with the president's visit, and they asked me to look for a group. Initially, I wanted the Nyawi visit to coincide with the visit of Correa to see if they could perform as part of, but they couldn't do it on these dates. So they asked me if I could find another group. So I said, well. It was only a 20-minute performance at the reception before the awards banquet. And I suggested Nicole, well, maybe it's not worth bringing a group from Chicago. Let's find a local group. So I asked William Hope and his group, Sandunga, maybe, you know, I told him, well, maybe I could assess you guys to come up with some Ecuadorian songs, some Ecuadorian local music. But they had a time conflict also. So I said, well, I just sent an email to the president of the Ecuadorian Association. I say, well, there's an opportunity, and if there's Ecuadorian musicians that would like to get together, we could put something together. And we did it in very short time.
So you found
2 weeks.
A few.
So yes, there's 2 students, Ramiro Jaramillo and David Amores, who, and also Jorge Garzón himself, the president of the Ecuadorians. They all played the guitar, and I said I could sing along. So we put together a few Ecuadorian songs, popular songs from Ecuador and also from Latin America, and we actually caught the attention of the president as we were performing. We were rehearsing, checking sound and stuff, and he came in and he was really glad to hear to hear us, and he was really kind, so we had the chance to meet him personally.
So maybe you'll sing at his next inauguration.
I don't think so.
Well, now that you've mentioned this, we'll have to maybe talk to you guys about making an appearance on this show as performers.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Well, actually, we were on the talent show at the Fiesta performance on Saturday, and yeah, it was fun.
Which performance is that?
It was I think they do it every year. It's called Fiesta, and it's a show of talents, and basically of students of Hispanic descent or Latinos. And so they have poetry, they have comedians, they have dancers, and they have singers. And so it was really, really interesting.
I need to find out about these
yes.
things. I don't think I knew about it. Yeah. Well, let's talk in a moment about what you really came here to talk about,
yeah.
because we could go on about many other things, about mm-hmm. the appearance of the group Niawi. But first, let's just hear some music that you brought along.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you just introduce it, because this is one of the elements of the group that's calling itself Niawi, which is
yes.
kind of not an existing group. It's made up of some other artists.
Yeah, so I'll just explain. I think they took the name from the album of the group Yarina. Yarina is a long, you know, it has many years of establishment here in the U.S. as a folk music or traditional music from Ecuador. And it's an ensemble and also a dance troupe. They have produced many albums, and one of the albums, which actually won an award for best musical or traditional, it's in the context of the Native American Music Awards, their album was named Niawi. And Niawi means faces in the Quechua language. And I think that that's where they got the name for this new collaborative project between three different artists. Alex Alviar, which is an Ecuadorian artist based in Boston, and Mariela Condo, who has her own solo production as a soloist and a career as a soloist, and she's from Chimborazo, Ecuador. And also Yarina, some of the members from Yarina themselves are part of this new collaborative project. So the first song is from Yarina's album, most recent album, which is a live performance, and the song is called Rosalia Ecuador.
So the ensemble Yarina, spelled, by the way, Y-A-R-I-N-A, who are part of the group Niawi that will be here on Friday at the University of Illinois, giving a workshop and a concert, and we'll tell you more about that as we're conversing here with Pilar Eguez Guevara with the Ecuadorian Students Association at the University of Illinois, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Thank you. Muchas gracias. Yupaychani. Muchas gracias. Thank you.
There was the group called Yarina, who are part of the ensemble Niawi that's going to be from Ecuador, that is going to be performing on Friday night at the Spurlock Museum on the campus of the University of Illinois in Urbana. There's a workshop in advance from 4 to 6 introducing some of the musical traditions and some of the instruments of the Ecuadorian Andes, and then the concert at 7:30, which is free, by the way. Not a lot of seats. It's a fairly intimate and nice place to hear music in the auditorium there, but you do want to get... I guess, do you get tickets for this?
No.
Or let me turn your microphone on. There we go.
Yeah,
just show up.
It's all free. It's actually paid by SORF and the Program Coordinating Council and the Student Cultural Programming Fee. And they, you know, this is an event that is aimed to serve students and the community. So
just show up.
Yes.
And the doors will open at 7.
In advance, yes.
So in other words, get in line.
Yes.
Because it's going to be very much in demand after everybody has heard this interview, right? We're talking with Pilar Eguez Guevara, who is the treasurer of the Ecuadorian Students Association, bringing Nyawi to the campus. And so we heard one of the groups. Now, this group has three performers in Nyawi, is that right? And they're all related to each other?
Yes, they're brothers, they're siblings, they're a whole family, a huge family of musicians, the Cachimuel, and they are all from Otavalo, and I was telling you that they, you know, at a very young age, Roberto Cachimuel immigrated to the U.S., to the Boston area, and he started making music with other musicians from Peru and from Bolivia, but eventually his brothers joined him, and his other sisters who were dancers joined him, and they formed a ensemble that played traditional Ecuadorian music, but also was a dance ensemble. And so they're, you know, very, very important, probably the most important musical and dance ensemble in the U.S., and they're widely recognized here as well as back home in Ecuador. So.
And you were telling me as we were listening to the music that Nyawi is together not only to play music, but also to increase cultural awareness and also for some political reasons as well.
Right. So Roberto was telling me this morning as I was asking him about this, and he said, "Well, they have been recognized for their artistic performances with the Native American Music Awards for their production with their album Nyawi, but what is more rewarding to them is the recognition for the message that they want to convey of cultural awareness, of appreciation of their cultural traditions and musical traditions that are based on the traditions and the experiences, the everyday experiences of the indigenous communities in Ecuador. So that is the other dimension of their project, not only a musical project but a project of cultural and awareness of indigenous identity and traditions. So I think that what is really wonderful, I mean, they have this project and they based it, like I was telling you, they started playing when their dad was participating in the gatherings of the indigenous around their indigenous organizations, and they're, I guess, to that extent, they're also part of the broader indigenous movement of the struggle of the indigenous peoples in Ecuador to have their rights recognized and their differences recognized in terms of language, in terms of their organization, how they decide to organize their everyday life. So Mariela's project, which is the other artist that forms part of Nyawi, she has a project as a solo singer, and she was telling me that the way that she put together her album is that by a project of, I guess it is an anthropological project, it's an ethnomusicological project that was based on field work done in the different communities, and she participated in this field work to gather some of the oral traditions of the different indigenous communities and the songs that they sang about many of their everyday experiences with childbirth and the death of a person and marriage and, relationships. And they had different projects. One of them was specifically the songs that women sang to their relatives or to the community. And the other project was about children's songs. And so she participated in this, and that really influenced her work. And she later on put together this album that gathers these songs that are songs that are part of the indigenous traditions of Ecuador. So to that extent, I think her work is also, has a very important sociocultural component to rescue the memories and to promote and to raise awareness about the memories of these communities.
You told me in advance that the sort of music that Niawi is going to be performing on Friday and that we're hearing just now is not necessarily popular music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not pop music in Ecuador.
Yes.
It's sort of, on the margins, like jazz around here or blues, and a number of things that are native to the United States,
mm-hmm.
but maybe we're more mainstream at one point, but right now it's, kind of not fringe interest, but what's the of limited interest. I'm still
right.
not coming up with the right word, but
yeah.
In any event,
so,
talk about that just a little bit.
Yeah, so both Alex's work, we haven't
niche,
talked a little bit.
Niche interest, that's what I was looking for.
Okay. So Alex is the other member of the
Alex
this,
Alvear.
Alex Alvear, and he's a very well-known musician in Ecuador and in the U.S. And the kind of music he does, he has he's I guess most well-known band is Mango Blue, and that's an Afro-Latino funk kind of music. He blends Afro-Caribbean styles with jazz and funk and other more contemporary styles. So he was telling me that the kind of public and the audience that he has for his music is not necessarily the Latino community or the immigrant community that appreciate his music. It's a more select kind of public that maybe likes the kind of world music, right? The world that is within this world music kind of style. And Yarina, the same thing. They're proposing to bring traditional Ecuadorian music, but they're combining it with other more contemporary music. So to that extent, they're not they're proposing something very original. And they're not playing the commercial card, right?
Right.
That's the way that Alex put it. So to that extent, it's really a challenge for them as artists, right? To keep up with their work. But in any case, they have been doing it, really well, and even with those limitations, they have been able to gain wide visibility. The way that Alex put it was that he makes very, very slow gains, one fan at a time, he told me. He gains one fan on each concert, on each performance. And that way he has been able to, to be an established artist right now. And he told me, every time we call up for a concert with Mango Blue, I know it's going to be full, and there's going to be wide, attendance. So,
which means he probably picks up more than one fan at a time.
Maybe.
And hopefully more than one this Friday.
Yeah. He's been in the area for a long time, for almost about 20 years. So, and he's also
Boston area.
Yeah. Yes. So he was an established artist already in Ecuador. He had he was part of two very important ensembles, which were Promesas Temporales and Rumba Song, which were kind of like a benchmark in urban music in Ecuador. And then he came here and he proposed this other Latin project, and right now he's doing Ecuadorian music. So it's a fusion of many styles and traditions.
Well, it sounds exciting and interesting and probably colorful, I imagine, to an extent. And it's the group Niawi, made up of these various elements, going to be performing at the Knight Auditorium of the Spurlock Museum on the University of Illinois campus on South Gregory Street in Urbana, Friday evening from 7:30 until 9:30 or so. Or doors will open at 7 o'clock, and the seating is limited, but it's all free, so no tickets required. There's also a workshop from 4 to 6, introducing the musical traditions and instruments of the Ecuadorian Andes. And if somebody wants more information, should they contact you?
Yes.
Okay. The Pilar's email address, peguez2, that's P-E-G-U-E-Z, numeral 2, at illinois.edu. Or you can go to the Live and Local page and listen to this interview all over again, and you can find out. And if I think of it, I'll maybe try to put the contact in there, but I'll probably forget. So just feel free to listen again at will.illinois.edu. We have Kathy Harden standing by to give us a little bit of Patsy Cline's music for her show called Always Patsy Cline at the Station Theater. So we have time to choose between Alex Alvear and Mariela Condopilco. You get to pick how we'd like to go out.
Mariela sings in Quechua.
Okay.
So I think that would be a good
one. And she is the second or the third?
The third one.
She's the third one. Okay.
I think so.
Pilar, thanks very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for letting us know about this event.
Yes.
All right. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. It turns out I did not play the music that I was directed to play. We didn't hear Mariela Condopilco, as you probably could have figured out without the vocals. We heard Alex Alvear from one of his albums. And Alex and Mariela and the group Yarina constitute the group called Niawi, which is, again, going to be at the Spurlock Museum in Urbana this Friday evening for a workshop at 4 o'clock and a free concert at 7:30. Some wonderful traditional Ecuadorian music, actually traditional mixing with some more modern styles. Coming up in just a moment, Kathy Harden, who is Patsy Cline in the show put on by the Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana, which has been running and goes for another couple of weeks in downtown Urbana. And Always Patsy Cline is the name of the show. And you're listening to Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Support for our show today comes in part from Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. Intercession and summer at Southern include seminars and introductory courses, Southern in summer, sunset concerts, a quiet campus, and hundreds of summer classes. More information is available at siuc.edu.
Those blues that you left with me, wondering if I'll ever be free. Yes, I'm wondering if I'll ever be free.
Patsy Cline here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Don't usually hear her music on this show, but then we cover all kinds of music. And we're covering it right now because the show at the Station Theater, put on by the Celebration Company, is currently Always Patsy Cline. It's a two-woman show with Kathy Harden in the role of Patsy Cline. And Joy Hofsummer is the other person, and the other person is kind of the reason it has this title. I mean,
yes,
her relationship with Patsy Cline is the reason it has this
true.
Title. Thanks for coming in, Kathy.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm happy to be here.
It's great to meet you. I don't think have we met before? I don't think so.
Yes, we
have
actually
we?
Met last year. Right over here.
You sat right over there. What were we talking about?
I had a different color of hair, so perhaps you didn't
What were we talking about?
Last year, I played the role of Badass Betty in the Great American Trailer Park Musical.
Yes, I remember that. Yes, I do. Okay.
But well, I know it's been a while.
I've only met you in the context of the shows instead of one of your own performances. You've been singing around here for a long time.
I have since.
And your brother Keith, of course.
1980-something. Yeah. Yes, my brother Keith, of course.
Yeah. What do you? But you otherwise work in a seemingly unrelated field at the University of Illinois, right?
No, I do not work at the University of Illinois.
Where do you work?
I own a Curves in Tolono.
Oh, you do?
I've had a Curves there for almost 8 years. Curves is a women's exercise club.
I wonder if I found an old web link. Maybe that's what I found. Have you worked for the University of Illinois?
Well, not formally.
We have to talk about this later.
There are more than one Kathy Harden.
Yeah, well, Harden's, that's probably it. Yeah, there, I thought really this was are. Somebody who was singing, but in any event, you're here because of this show.
I am.
So tell the story of Always Patsy Cline, the relationship a little bit.
The show is actually based on an article that was written in a magazine, an interview with Louise Seeger, who is the person who narrates this story. And Ted Swindley, who's the person who wrote the show, saw this article and created the show around the article. Louise heard Patsy on the radio at the beginning of her career and was completely taken with her voice. And after a period of time, she found out that Patsy was coming to the town where she lived and performing, and she just had to go there. She arrived early, got a great parking place so that she could see Patsy Cline, and then ultimately, I think her motive was to meet her. And they struck up a friendship. They had a correspondence for a couple of years, letters and phone calls. And so that's really the gist of the show. And it's told in an ever so sweet and wonderful way.
And bittersweet, I guess, because the relationship didn't last as long as it might, because Patsy Cline didn't last as long as she might.
True, yes. That's
she had
true.
A
she
quick had. And tragic end, right?
She did, yes.
And did you have a relationship to Patsy Cline's music before?
I had sung a couple of Patsy Cline's songs over the last 30 years around town. And but essentially knew just a couple of her classics, you know, Crazy, Walking After Midnight. And so my relationship with her now has expanded.
Well, I imagine.
A bazillionfold.
You've got to sing how many of her songs in this show?
27 songs.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of songs to sing, period.
It is, and I love each and every song.
Well, here's one that you just mentioned, and it's one that I've certainly heard. I had not heard that one, as you suspected, the one we just did hear.
Honky Tonk Merry-Go-Round.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I hadn't heard it either till
before
this show.
The show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this one is Walkin'. What is it? Walkin'
After Midnight.
Walkin' After
one
Midnight.
One of her classic tunes.
Yeah, of a great many of them. I mean, people would actually be surprised. Some people who know me would be surprised to know that I'm a bit of a fan of Patsy Cline's.
Oh,
at least
is that right?
What, you know, whenever, what relatively little I've heard. I do actually own one or two albums of hers.
You know, there are so many people that have said to me, I'm not a big fan of country music, but I love Patsy Cline.
Well, she's a lot of fun, and she sings beautifully, and it's great energy.
Definitely.
As we'll hear again in this song right now, Patsy Cline here on Live and Local.
I go out walking after midnight. Some as I can be, I go out walking after midnight.
Walking After Midnight, Patsy Cline here on Live and Local. And the show is always Patsy Cline at the Station Theater in downtown Urbana. And it runs through the 8th of May. The trick is, and I knew that this was almost true when I talked with Kathy Harden at the end of last week, that the show was nearly sold out. Apparently, it is now all sold out.
Yes.
However, you're encouraged to try anyway, right?
Yes, try anyway. Call and get your name. Pick the night you'd like to come and get your name on the wait list for that night, or maybe even try a couple of nights. Our director, our box office folks really do try to get you in if at all possible. And we do have some nights people with reservations that don't show. So there is always a possibility that you can get in.
Yeah, because the way the station works, you don't get the tickets in advance. You just reserve.
So you call and reserve.
People
and
decide, it's raining, I don't want to go. Or
I
saw it once and that was enough. Or, you know, and signed up a second time. Uh-huh. And, so definitely give it a try. Do you have the phone number handy? I have it here.
The phone number is 217-384-4000.
And you'll just leave a message and someone will get back to you if you want them to get back to you, or?
Generally, we do not return the calls. Your message that you leave with us
is your
confirmation that you are on the wait list at this point.
I'm one of these, you know, I usually like to know that somebody got my message, so I'll say, will you call me back?
Yes.
And actually, people have.
Sometimes we do, but what you do when you're on the wait list is arrive at the theater at about 7:30 and let the person at the box office know that you're on the wait list. And then at 10 till 8, they will release the tickets that have not been claimed at that point to the wait list. They'll start calling one by one off the wait list. So just go in, cross your fingers, hope that you'll get in. It's definitely a show worth seeing.
Well, usually,
I do say so myself.
Well, but I mean, really, more to the point, the people who've been to the show have said so.
Yes.
Otherwise, I mean, that's how these things get sold out, is by word of mouth. Say, I went and saw this show, and you do too. So the people that's how they get sold out. So
I do have people
testament.
Say, I've seen it and I want to see it again.
Yeah.
You know, which.
So now you say, let other people have a chance.
Yeah,
always Patsy Cline with Kathy Harden. The time, as usual, has just disappeared, I'm sorry to say. So next time, I will remember you were here, and we'll have to have you come back and do some songs of your own. And you brought some. We'll hear one here in just a moment.
Yes, there are two songs I brought that I just really, really, really want you to be able to play. So one is a number I did with Kathy Harden and the King Bees, which is a band I had a few years ago. This is a live recording, so it's not, you know, perfect, but this is more the style of music that I do. And, I brought something that I do with Keith. I brought something that I did with my daughter and another friend, Kathy Harshbarger. So, I don't know, lots of stuff to share. Just not enough time, it sounds like.
That's the way it goes, yeah.
We'll just leave them wanting more.
Well, you know,
Isn't that the way we do it?
I got interest. I mean, I was, Pilar, the woman who was on first, you know, got me wanting more of the Ecuadorian music. And we didn't even get to play all that. And
yes.
So, well, I guess we'll have to have her back sometime. And well, that's part of the fun of the show.
Yes. Well, just play a little snippet of Mama, He Treats Your Daughter Mean, and then
we'll see where we go. Yeah. Well, thanks very much, Kathy. It's fun to have you. And,
thank you.
It is Live and Local on FM 90.9. We'll have weather for you about 1 o'clock and the Writer's Almanac at 101 and classical music starting at 106. It's Kathy Harden here on Live and Local. Go see Always Patsy Cline at the Station Theater in Urbana. It's stationtheater.com, I believe.